Hey guys, time for a new off the record podcast today here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Chris Williams. I really love doing these off the records, and of course they're always brought to you by our good friends at the Iowa Clinic, one of our longest and really one of my favorite sponsors. I love all of our advertisers and partners here at Cyclone Fanatic, but the girls in the marketing department at the Iowa Clinic are fantastic. Just been great to get to know over the years. We appreciate that relationship, and today I really want to take a look at the physical therapy department at the Iowa Clinic. Fantastic work there in West Des Moines. And, you know, the good thing about the Iowa Clinic, too, if you go to their website, iowaclinic.com, all over the metro, I'm located in Bondurant. I often use the Ankeny location, but if I got to slip down there to West Des Moines, never a long drive either. 515-875-9706. That's your physical therapy for you weekend warriors out there. I've been dinged up. I've had a dinged up shoulder. Jack Whitford and the boys over there at the Acceleration Iowa have been messing with my shoulder, so I potentially maybe need that as well. But really good physical therapy department. I want to give a shout out to the urgent care facility in Ankeny. Man, when you have a kid, and I've learned this over the last couple of years, the urgent care is really something great to have in your community. And ever since that urgent care opened up in Ankeny, it's been great for my family. I've even had to use it a couple of times. Iowa Clinic brings you the Off the Record podcast. Earlier today, recorded on Tuesday, July 7th, I invaded the office of Iowa State head basketball coach Steve Prohm. I think you'll enjoy this interview. Talk a lot about next year's team, just his life in general. Prohm really lets loose in this interview as people normally do. That's why we call it Off the Record. Enjoy. All right, guys, it's time for our annual sit down with Coach Prohm. We're here in Coach Prohm's office, and the Cyclone Nation will be glad to know that Coach Prohm just got a fresh haircut. He's ready for recruiting.
Ready to go.
Yeah. Do you get the same cut like every time, or do you like to switch it up?
No, pretty much same time. Same kind, same style. Sometimes a little shorter, but
yeah.
But pretty much same.
When you go into like a recruit's house, is it just like the Iowa State polo? Do we ever wear it? What do we do?
It just depends. I've never been suit and tie.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not you.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But, you know, it's mostly slacks, button up, slacks, polo, you know, something Iowa State, though. You know, whether it's polo, long sleeve polo, sweater vest, sweater, you know.
Do you like this time of year? Like
yeah,
the
July
period?
Yeah, I enjoy this. I enjoy the recruiting parts. The standpoint of just building relationships with the kids and families and hearing different stories. And obviously you get invested in some kids and they break your heart if they go somewhere else. But obviously,
yeah, we've heard about that.
Yeah. Is that a zinger there?
I kind of feel like there's like an underlying comment there, but
yeah, but they, you know, that's part of it. You know, I heard a great coach tell me one time, it's not the players you miss on that end up hurting you, you know. And there's another part of that line, but I won't say that. But,
yeah.
You know, but when you think about it is, you know, you got to go after good players. I think that's important. You know, you got to get good high school players in your program. And, you know, I think you need a mixture of great high school players, of transfers, and then of, you know, the junior college transfers as well. And you can put the transfers into the sit out or the fifth year guy, but you need a combination. But for your program to be healthy, like we were talking about off air, I think you need a good steady diet of signing good high school players each and every year. And when I look at our roster right now, I'm excited about the future. I really am. When I look at Terrence Lewis and Lindell Wigginton and Cameron Lard, obviously it's unfortunate with Darius McNeil. What happened in that situation, but that's the other side of the business that, you know, I'm not going to get involved in. And then you look at guys like Solomon Young, you know, and so that's you know, sophomore, freshman. I just named four or five really good players that are going to be here for a long time. And so I'm excited about the direction.
Let's I want to do some family stuff, and I want to talk about your reunion. But since we're already on the team, you want to just start here? Is that all right?
Yeah, we can start. We can talk football. We can talk.
Well, no, well, that's
NBA,
on the list.
We can talk everything.
We're talking football because we have another bet to make for November 12th. We'll get to that. You mentioned Wigginton. He just won a gold medal with Canada. He I'll be honest, he's better than I thought he would be when I've seen him on TV. And that's, I thought he was going to be good. But I think he's going to be a really special guy. You've worked with NBA point guards. You've never worked with one where you're bringing one into, you know, a Big 12 program where he's got to come in and be one of the main guys on this team. So what's that transition like for you? Where do you start with Lindell Wigginton?
I think you start at the core. We haven't had a chance to be around each other that much, you know, because this Canada thing kind of came up, not last minute. We knew it was a possibility. And my thing, just like kids leaving early, if you got a chance to leave early and you're going to be a good draft pick, man, you go and do what's best for you. And so when they called Lindell about this, you know, obviously he was torn a little bit from a standpoint of being here with his teammates freshman year, learning everything that goes on here as a student athlete. But he also, this was a great opportunity for him.
For sure.
To play in front of, you know, NBA scouts, play in front of the world, compete at the highest level in his under-19 age group. And so now they go win a gold medal. And so if he would have missed out on that as a coach, I'd have been sick.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we encouraged him to go and do it, and he did it. And obviously he had a concussion. He missed two games.
Two games,
with
yeah.
the concussion in the quarterfinals and the semis, but came back in the finals and played really well. And so it's a great experience. It's a great learning experience for him. But so the biggest thing when he gets back, because he gets back this afternoon, is get him in the – I'm going recruiting, but is to when we do sit down, is just talk to him about being invested, the relationship with your teammates, putting the time in on and off the floor to get better, and not think about the end result. Just think about getting better every day and continue to build our relationship. And he'll do great things, and I'm really excited about him.
When Monte got here, obviously you weren't here, but he had DeAndre Kane, who – those two had like this brotherly relationship where it was almost like DeAndre would like beat up on Monte at the beginning, but they did it in a loving way. When I talked to Lindell, I did a feature on him a couple months ago. Probably talked to him for 45 minutes one night. And he had talked to me a lot about how Donovan Jackson had been FaceTiming him. He's sensing that could be a type of relationship that's beneficial for Lindell down the road?
Yeah, I think so. And Donovan knows. That's the thing. When, you know, when Donovan and I talked last year, I was like, Donovan, I don't want you to redshirt. If you want a redshirt, you can redshirt. But I don't think it's the best for you and for this program, but I'm not going to force you to do it. And then he changed his mind. I think now he understands why. Because the playing time is invaluable that he got.
Mm-hmm.
The shots, obviously, whether it's Kansas or the threes that he made, home, road, conference tournament, was invaluable and big for our program. But he also could watch Monte and see how Monte carried himself, see how Monte led. And I think that's very important. And I think Donovan's excited about the leadership role he has on this team and to help Lindell. And obviously those guys are going to play together a lot. And I'm really excited about our perimeter. You know, you talk about those two, but, I mean, we've got Nick Babb. We've got Terrence Lewis. We've got some other good guys as well.
Terrence Lewis is – I know you can't go down, but he's had a really nice summer down at the Capital City League. Hard to take a lot from that. There's not a lot of defense being played.
Yeah.
But I think he'll bring a dimension. You need a shooter on the wing, and he can provide that.
You know, he's looked really good in workouts. His body looks great. He's another freshman who's going to get thrown out there. And I think freshmen get better by growing and playing and playing through mistakes and getting better. And so, obviously, Wigginton and Terrence are two guys that are going to be here for a long time and do really good things, I believe.
What about the two grad transfers? What are your impressions been of them so far?
They've been good. You know, but Beverly got here, his ankle was kind of tweaked pretty good. And so a little bit worse than we thought. He got hurt actually the day before he came on his official visit. And so he's just getting back into shape. He's gotten back into full workouts now and is doing some good things. Hans is way ahead of progress.
Good.
And doing
good to hear.
Really well. Talking to Vic and talking to him. Everything he's doing is 1-on-0 in the gym right now. But his rehab's great. He's ahead of schedule in every area. And so I'm really excited about him. His skill set and his IQ, understanding how to play, you know, pass, shoot, dribble, make decisions, ball screen offense, all that stuff's big with him.
Yeah, that's you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask about his knee next. The Beverly kid, so he's a former football player. Does he play basketball like a football player?
You know, we've just done individual workouts, and so I couldn't say yes or no. I think he's got a crafty game.
I hope you're going to say yes, because I like those physical guys.
Know, we need him to be that. I think, you know, he's got that size. You know, he's in shape, but he's got that thickness, kind of like Burton has that thickness. That they just – we're talking about Burton. He looks unbelievable just physically. His body, he's lost a lot of weight. He looks good watching him on TV right now in summer league. He looks really good.
It's been so fun watching those guys.
You know, it's been good.
And Coach, I DVR'd three games the other night. I've never done that in my life. It's incredible.
Yeah, they're doing good. And, you know, I've watched a little bit here and there in spots. You know, I actually got seven guys out there playing this summer all together, you know, which is great. And so it's fun watching those guys. But Beverly's doing good. You know, for him to play, you know, the four at his size, he's got to have some physicality and toughness to him. And so, because he was football, then came back around to basketball.
Did you ever get a call from Fred about your Murray guys?
Yeah, I've talked to him, you know, the night before they took Cannon, signed Cannon, he called me, asked me what I thought. And then right after the trade went down with Cameron, he called me and asked me my thoughts on Cameron. And so
it's just crazy, like the small world guys both ended up with Fred at the Bulls.
Yeah, it is ironic. And obviously they waived Cannon the other day, which, you know, I talked to Isaiah last night, and he'll get a good spot. And it's just
he looked good toward the end of the playoffs.
He played great. He played great early. Played great late. And, you know, I think when he was a starter for the Rockets when he was in Houston, they were 9-1 when he started the 10 games he started with Houston.
I'll tell you what, me being a Bulls fan, take my relationship with you and Fred out of it, just a Bulls fan, at the end of that Boston series, I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
He won me over as a fan.
Yeah, he did well, and I think it was good. You know, the one thing you have to do in the NBA, it teaches all these guys when you watch something like that, is he played a lot early. He didn't play, and then they threw him out there in the playoffs because Rondo got hurt.
Yeah.
And he responded, and that's when you have to be ready. And then, you know, D. Wade tweeted something the other day because I saw it and I sent it to his agent. I said, man, did you see this? And it was just a really good quote about how he prepared himself to play the game the right way. And so he'll do well. He'll end up somewhere and do well.
Talking about being ready, that's the one thing I loved about Donovan this year, though, because he kind of had like a little niche role on the team. He was a really good defender early on. But then that Kansas game, you know, you put him out there, hits big shots. He did the same thing in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. And in the NCAA tournament, he looked like a junior who had been at the Big 12 level his whole career, just that confidence.
Yeah, when you talk junior college players, if you talk to any coaches, they'll always say, hey, January and on, they figure it out. The good ones figure it out.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, Donovan came in a situation, probably thought he was going to play a little bit more because he thought Monte Nas would probably be gone. They're back. And so, you know, me and him really tried to get on the same page November, December. And then when we really started to get on the same page, I think when he bought into, hey, this is what they need from me, I think his game took off. I mean, he shot almost 60% from three the last 15 games of the season.
Incredible.
You hit one of the biggest shots in the history of the school. And, you know, I don't know, history of the school is probably maybe over, but, I mean, we've only won a couple times over in
it was a real – and that changed the course of your whole
Fieldhouse
season.
And from then on, we're 12-2, and you only lose at West Virginia and to Purdue.
I don't think you're overselling the importance of the shot.
And so – but
he was there.
But he's one guy. If you were like, all right, line these 13 guys up last year, even in November, I'm like – he'll make it. You know, he's one that'll make that shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big time shot. That was a great game, and it was a great win. And that spearheaded us, and didn't play great at Texas two nights later. But after that, you know, you have this feeling with teams, and I got it with this team, and I've had it with some of my
with
special
this
teams.
Future one,
this past team.
Oh, the past
you know,
team.
As we
gotcha.
To where, hey, we may be down 6 at home to Baylor. We may be down 8 to Oklahoma State. We're winning tonight because we're going to have a run. We're going to get some stops. We're going to get a deflection. We're going to play in transition. And we're going to have some, you know, Clark Kellogg spurt ability. And it's going to be 3-3-3, and now we're up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And second half of the year, once we got through Kansas and those guys we all got on the same page, I felt like that in every game.
The end of the season, I don't know if you'll remember this at all, but you made a – I don't remember how it was posed to you or whatever. You made a comment that I put up on Twitter and Facebook, and it went viral within Iowa State when you you jumped on a reporter. You go, no, these are my guys. You were talking about the graduating seniors. Do you remember what was going through your head when you said that? Because I'll be honest with you, Coach. I had multiple people reach out to me and be like, man, I loved Coach Prohm before, but now I'm all in on this guy.
Yeah, because they are my guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm the head basketball coach here. I mean, I coached those guys for 2 years. I developed relationships with them. I invested with them. I poured into them on and off the floor to try to make them better basketball players and better men. And if you look at those guys offensively, efficiency, how they improved over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. just look at their numbers and see the improvement that those guys made from points per game to the offensive efficiency to the, you know, whether it's rebounds, field goal percentage, three-point percentage, just look at that. And so just because I don't recruit you, even as an assistant, if I didn't recruit a certain kid, I was still going to pour into, this other kid, and this other kid, because yeah. that's what great assistants do. And so as a head coach, it doesn't matter who, if I recruited him or Fred recruited him or Greg McDermott recruited him. You know, I'm the head coach. These are my guys. And that's why I'm not so caught up in everybody's, because now the thing is, oh, Fred's guys are gone. No, that class is gone. And now we've got a new class coming in, and it's all about Iowa State. It's not about me. It's not about Fred. It's not about Greg or Wayne or Tim and Larry and all those guys. It's about these players, and that's the focus.
That's a good transition to the big reunion that's coming up. So I know how excited you are about this. Some fans probably haven't heard of it. You did this at Murray, and you want to bring the tradition to Iowa State. You're going to have an annual reunion where you bring guys back every summer. Explain that to the
Yeah,
fans.
There's two. I was telling Lindsay Long's been awesome. She's helping me with this event along with my staff. I think there's two nights. Championships are great, and NCAA's obviously. Everybody knows how great those things are.
Okay. You got to love cutting down the net.
Yeah, but there's two nights to me that are the most fun for me as a coach. Senior night. Okay, I love senior night. I love the before, and then I really love the after when those guys get to just tell their emotions and what they feel about Iowa State. And then alumni reunion weekend. And it's just something when I was an assistant at Murray, I was like, man, if I'm ever fortunate to be the head coach here, I want to get all these guys back. There's so much history and tradition and great players that have been here and hadn't seen guys. And so when I got here, obviously me being new, and now just 2 years in, I wanted to get this going. It's probably too quick and fast to start it last summer. And so I really wanted to do this because I want every generation of players to know how important they are to the success of this program and that they are a big part of this program, whether they played for, in the 70s, whether mm-hmm. they played for the 80s, the 90s. They're all a part of Iowa State. And that's the best part of when we had success and have our run is to hear from Tinsley or Shirley or Pfizer or Niang or Fred, whoever it may be, because all of them are watching, all of them care. And all they want is to be included and be a part. And so we'll bring them back, Friday night, August the 4th. We've got about 65 guys signed up right now. My goal this first year is to get 100 here. And then
that would be an incredible
site. And if we could do that, we're not doing an honoree necessarily this year. In the past I've honored somebody at the bank. What I want to do this year, because it's my first year and I don't doing it here and I don't know as many people like I may have done at my old school when I first started it, I said, hey, we're going to have three speakers. I wanted to kind of split up generations. So Gary Thompson's going to speak, Jeff Greer's going to speak, and George Niang's going to speak.
It's a pretty good resume right there.
And then John Walters is going to be the MC of the banquet. And then Eric Heft will do the toast. I'll have a toast after we play the Iowa State highlight video, tradition highlight video that we play at the end. And then Eric Heft will toast the evening. But Friday is you've got the media session. We got a social 2-hour social where it's just, light hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and mm-hmm. all the players and Johnny's. And then we have the banquet that night on the Hilton floor. And then on Saturday, we come back with a golf tournament, pickup basketball. We'll have a pickup game, and then we'll have one more social. And then we'll leave that Saturday evening kind of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock and on till for these guys to go with their generations or go with their friends and groups or teammates and do their own thing. that evening, and then they get out of town on Sunday. And so I'm really looking forward to it. You know, they all get a gift bag of some Iowa State gear when they get here, and we'll have champagne glasses, and we've got these Cyclone Nation wristbands we've ordered for them all that everybody, you know, everybody wears those wristbands these days.
Yep.
And so it'll be an awesome event. I'm fired up. There's when you do it, it's, and I can only go back, you can only go back of your old experiences. But when I started it, I had one of my assistants text me that night, like about midnight. And he was like, "Coach, thanks so much for letting me be a part of this program and this evening." And that's what I want to have happen here. And so I'm excited. And we've got a who's who coming back right now. You know, when you look at, you know, Zaid Abdulaziz, you know, Sean Bankhead, I'm just Scott Christofferson, Rayshon Clark, Tyler Ellerman, Jeff Greer, Mike Green, obviously, the SID. Jim Hallahan will be here. Heft. J.C. Holloway, Kentrell Horton, Stevie Johnson. I'm just kind of scrolling through this.
That's a lot of names right
Julius
there.
Julius Mikulik, you know, Monte Morris, Stu Neslick.
Yes.
George Niang.
Crowd favorite.
You know, Andrew Parker, Paul Shirley, Sarita Stevens, the wife of Barry Stevens.
Oh, nice.
We invited her. Curtis Very Stinson, cool. You know, Gary Thompson. I'm just, you know, and Dedrick Willoughby. So, I mean, there's another 20, 25 that I've got on the hook that I'm just kind of – the one thing I think they want, they'd like the head coach to say, "Hey, man, come on back." And so, you know, we're still going to work on this hard the next couple weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's cool. It's real grassroots level of that too.
Yeah, I just think all the special programs do it. I just – and I want this. This is a special program, but I want to – you know, I want to have our mark, and, you know, we want to leave our mark on this program too.
Have you had that response, though, when you call a guy, and what's the response been like?
Man, it's been awesome. That's the best part of it, you know. The best part of it is when you call and they say, "Man, just good to hear from you, man. Thanks so much for you taking the time."
Yeah.
Whether it's Will Clyburn or Will Blaylock or Chris Allen or – you know, Paul Shirley, "Hey, thank you for trying to bring generations together."
Yeah.
And so that's what you get out of it as a coach. You know, that's why I like watching this. I just kind of stay back and I can just watch everybody mingle, because that's when you, as a coach or a leader, that's when you're
in
your moment.
It's good for the fans too. Just one thing I get as the fan site guy that it's difficult for me to watch sometimes is how larger than life these players are. They're 4 years and they're at Iowa State. This is the professional sport, right?
For
Iowa State fans. This is their pro sport team. And then when the guys graduate, it would be difficult, I would think, to be like the big man on campus, to be the man. Most of these guys aren't playing in the NBA. No. The really good ones do, but most of them don't. And then to come back 5-6 years later and you got to sit in the balcony – and half the people, most people don't even recognize you. That's difficult. And I think it's cool because it does recognize these guys. And more importantly, it brings the fans back to the, like, they're going to see pictures. They're going to see stuff on Twitter. I know you're letting media cover it. So it will bring back a lot of good memories of these guys for fans as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that the fun part is when you get some guys from the 80s walk down and they see the picture of when, you know, they beat Kansas in the Big 8 tournament, and they're like, "Man, you remember that, man? Johnny or, you know, or Tim Floyd's guys are over there talking." Man, that's what this thing's about, you know, and that's what I enjoy. I mean, I tell a story all the time about what this thing's all about is, and I'll ask everybody, I'll take 5 minutes and I'll say, "Hey, who doesn't have their degree? If you don't have your degree, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you're still trying to finish up and you want to finish up, my assistant right is right over there, Micah Byers. Just go see him, you know." And I did that when I was my first year when I did it at Murray when we started it. I had a kid come back. He hadn't been – no one talked to him in 12 years. He's one of the best players ever played there. So he comes back, ends up getting in school, is my student assistant. So my last year at Murray, he's my student assistant, graduates that year. And now he's an assistant down there with the women's team.
Wow.
And so that's the impact you're supposed to be trying to make.
gave that guy a career.
Yep. And so now
that's awesome.
So that's the fun part that I get out of it.
That's awesome. So August 4th.
August 4th and 5th, Friday and Saturday. Okay. And then, you know, hopefully we can make it an annual thing to where next year I will start having honorees next year to where, you know, it may be, hey, we're going to honor the 2000 Elite Eight team and we'll honor them and do a big production for them.
Awesome. That's great. You've had a busy off season though. How's it like being the daddy of a little girl?
Man, it's awesome. It's awesome, man. Those kids, that's when you're sitting, like on your bed or, and you've got both of them sitting there playing with each other and you're just looking at them, man, you're like, man, I'm lucky, man. You know,
yeah.
Whether you win at Kansas, lose at Kansas, man, I'm sitting there looking at those two and I got two awesome children and man, that's the best. There is no better. And it's changed me a lot to where just, man, I just think, man, I want to go be around my son. I want to go see my daughter. It's been awesome.
You've had – Cass, he's experienced a lot in a couple of years.
Yeah, he's got it pretty good. I told my wife the other day, I was like, man, he always steals the show. Francie got baptized the other day.
Oh, okay.
And so we take him up, and Cass was kind of standing with me while the priest was, you know, baptizing her. And he's got something, you know, he stole the show. You know what I mean? He's always in the middle of it. And so, you know, like I know that moment winning the Big 12 tournament on his birthday, I don't know if you could write a better story. That was awesome.
Did you get one of the photos of you and him cutting down the net? Like, did you get any of those good photos?
Yeah, we got
them. You got to put those in frames.
Yeah, that's what I told my wife. I wanted to just kind of get a collage, and my birthday's actually tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
And so she said there was one birthday. They did my birthday early this weekend because my family, everybody was in town for the baptism, and so we just all got together and did it then. But she was waiting on one gift, so part of me thinks it's something with a collage of the Big 12 tournament with the pictures and everything.
Now that you've had, like, however many months to think back on that deal, how cool was it? Was it everything you expected it to be?
Yeah, it was awesome.
The Hilton South?
Yeah, the atmosphere in there was unbelievable. And then just the you think about the kids. I mean, these guys, they won 3 out of 4 Big 12
that's
tournaments.
That's insane.
And I mean,
it's really hard to do.
That's unbelievable. And so, and just the way we were playing too, like we were rolling, like we were playing good. I mean, we were, you know, we were hitting on all cylinders. But what the best part for me was is like, it was like that when the Big 12 version of One Shining Moment, I was like, oh man, they play a video too. And I just watched that video, Live Your Dream, with my son and my wife. And I was like, man, this doesn't get much better than this.
No, it was cool. And I still, I want to bring up that this is how degenerate I am. I watched the Purdue game a couple weeks ago. I maintain this. If I could have put my life savings when you guys came back and took the lead on you to win that game, I would have.
Yeah.
I still don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it's just that one play. We got a miscommunication on the defensive assignment. The toilet bowl round and round three.
Yep.
You know, if they don't make that, we probably finish them off. But and then we didn't. I mean, we missed a couple free throws. We turned had a couple bad turnovers. Maybe a questionable Morris. You know, kind of got sandwiched a little bit. And you know, I don't want to talk about the foul, no foul on there. But you know, to where you know, you're
right.
Shooting free throws.
I think you're past the point of no return. I don't think that anything can happen to you.
You know, so but. You know, we lost that game in the first, probably the last 5 minutes of the first half. You know, it went from 6 to about 14. I can't even remember the kid's name. We lost 31, made a couple threes.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And then finally we thought about doing it in the first half, but the second half then we were just, hey, we're just going to go really small and make Swan again have to guard Burton. And that obviously got us back in the game.
Let's go back to recruiting. Let's say you're recruiting Lonzo Ball. Mm-hmm. And you got to deal with his dad. How do you handle that?
Man.
That's a good question, wasn't it?
You know what? I saw Lonzo Ball's dad hugging Rob Pelinka. So, you know, yesterday when I was seeing some of the summer league, so I was like, man, I guess you just embrace it, you know. I guess you just embrace it. And, you know, the thing I was thinking about when I heard somebody tweeted this or somebody was quoted with this, like, man, my dad's got that kind of confidence in me. Now, he sold carpet, you know what I mean? And he tried to start a business, executive laundry bags, you know, for a traveler guy, yeah. for you to take with you and throw your clothes in this executive laundry bag. He didn't have better ball brand, big ball brand, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, like, man, my dad would send me stuff all the time, say, man, hang in there. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, I know that's what dads
you're
do.
Going, you know,
I get those texts from my dad on the radio every day.
Yeah, so
I get it.
You know, and I'm going to tell Cass that he can do it.
Yeah,
you know, and Francie that she can do whatever she wants to do. And so, you know, he's just got a microphone in front of him.
Well, now the media just swarms to him.
Yep, because and they seek it out now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to him every time. But and he's loud. You know, he's loud and boisterous. But like. Man, my dad has that kind of confidence in me. He has that kind of belief in me. I don't know if he saw it out of birth, like he said. You know, I don't know if they are planning it, him and they know that we're going to make us a coach, you know. But so I think you understand that, hey, he loves his son. But, you know, I wouldn't do any too much to get rid of that talent, though. So he's a good player.
And he is.
And he's embraced it, too, you know, with the Foot Locker commercial and – And so
I think the NBA, I've been talking about this a lot on my show, is really, it used to be like it here specifically, very niche. Not a lot of people watch because college basketball is the deal. I think the NBA is like on the horizon. It's going to really blow up here. I think that they've done such a phenomenal job of marketing these stars. And I don't know about the super teams. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do know one thing. The free agency stuff in the playoffs, even though there were a lot of blowouts, was as interesting of theater as you can get in sports.
Yeah, I think the NBA, you know, sports is just different than it was when I grew up. You know, when I grew up watching the Celtics Lakers and the Celtics Pistons and then the Bulls Pistons and, you know, I go back as far as Lakers Mavericks, Lakers Rockets, you know, in the West. And so, you know, NFL football, it was all different. Major League Baseball, Vin Scully, Boston, Mets, threw Buckner's legs in 86 on NBC at 8 o'clock. You know, now baseball playoffs are on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah.
You know, to where it used to be 8 o'clock, you know, or you'd come home from school and I'd watch Ozzie Smith and the Dodgers, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon was game 5.
Yeah.
And so sports is just different now, but – I think the NBA is as popular as it's ever been. The talent is obviously great. The style of play is different now because it's spacing, it's threes, and you're not playing 81-72.
Let me ask you this. I think the NBA, one of the reasons it's thriving is because the individual aspect of it where these guys are stars. They're stars off the court with their social media. You've got LeBron James standing on a campaign stage with Hillary Clinton, right? Where they're doing more than just basketball. Does that bleed down to what you do? Like as far as your guys, not only your guys, but recruiting too. Has it changed the way that all that happens?
Yeah, everything. Because, you know, these guys are trying to mimic Kyrie Irving out here when they're working out. Recruiting, everybody knows everything. Are you recruiting him? Oh, man. You're going to get him. I can't come there. You know what I mean? Like to where I'm like.
Players will say that.
Yeah, just come compete, man. It's, you know, it's not going to be a perfect scenario where you're just going to walk in and, you know, I'm not going to promise anybody anything. Start, minutes, and all. You just can't do that.
You always use Cannon as an example.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you talked about like DeAndre Kane and Morris and how the little big brother. That was a perfect example. He came in. He had two juniors. He was a freshman. He did not start until his junior year.
And if Boo Boo Paulo doesn't get into trouble, who knows how Monte's doing?
Yeah, you know. And so he may have had to. And so there's so much. Even the way the college basketball's changed, you know, when I look at it from the last since 2010, it's changed just about guys. Hey, you know, can you stay 4 years and accept roles and just grow throughout the program and getting better each year? Like Naz, you look at Naz, average 1 point. I think as a freshman, right? Average 16 as all Big 12 as a senior.
Yeah.
But I think when you get guys like that that'll buy in and stay the course, then you're going to be around good, really good teams.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, I know you got a lot to get. You got to get to off to recruiting. Do you? I know you can't get into specifics. You have two scholarships left.
Yep.
Do you plan on using those both for this year? I mean, is there really what's going on, as far as you can tell us?
If we could.
Okay.
Yeah, we could.
It's still possible.
It is possible. You know, if there wasn't some kids out there, I'd say no, maybe just one. There's some possibilities.
Okay.
I'm hoping one for sure, but if we hit two, then I'll be really ecstatic.
Did you this off season? Did it sour you at all? Did it just motivate you more? As far as the recruiting stuff, you mentioned McNeil. That's mainly
yeah.
What I'm,
that's. I've never seen that in 20 years, but it's changed. And you know, you could, as a coach, you could say, you know, you got a lot of rules you could still do now. You could have, the way the NLI works, like you could hold a kid hostage from a standpoint of, hey, we're not going to give you release, or we're going to give you release, but we're going to make you sit a year. Like, I don't believe that, man. He doesn't want to be here, man. The way it happened, I didn't agree with at all. 3 weeks prior, he was texting me how much he wanted to be here. So obviously something happened. Then just go, because the next guy's going to show up here. We're going to get good players, and everything's going
to
be fine.
It's a lot easier to coach a team, though. I mean, if they want to be here,
yeah. And
I would
so
imagine.
Yeah, and so that's fine. And then, you know, and I want guys that want to come in here and compete. You know, that's the only way. If you don't want to come in here and compete, then you're not going to get any better. You know, you're not just going to walk in and get things handed to you. And so, yeah, you're going to miss on guys. And but you got to look at the whole class. You know, it seems like light years ago you signed Terrence Lewis, Lindell Wigginton, and Darius McNeil.
Yeah, it does.
To where the fall it's like, oh, man, Coach Prohm can recruit. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
You love this, you know, though. And you love it when people doubt you.
Yeah, that's been my whole life. So I'm fine with that. That does thrive me, because I'm not a hype machine. I'm not a, you know, I used to tweet a lot about things. I've really kind of calmed down that area. I'm more about, you know, these guys, these kids here in this program. But I do. I like to be doubted, but you also got to go look at the resume, too. You know, go look and then say, oh, man, he's doing pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we have to talk Viking skins. November 12th, it's at Washington this year. So last year, we kind of made an impromptu bet. You won last year, right?
Did the skins beat? Did we play the Vikings last year? I can't even remember now.
I think y'all.
I'm so sick about coming home from practice one night and blowing the game to go to the playoff against the Giants. You got to be able to beat the Giants in Week 17 at home to go to the playoffs.
Are we going to do the same bet? So if the Vikings win, I get to call first play against Kansas.
Yeah, for football. I'll text Matt here in a minute. I'll text Matt.
If it's for football, we're doing like a flea flicker. I mean, we're really blowing things up. How do you think your skins will be?
Man, you know, if you ask anybody that knows me well, they'll say he's going to say 10-6. I've been saying 10-6 since.
You're like Chris Berman picking the Buffalo Bills and the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
You know, I hope we're good. You know, I think we're, you know, Cousins is going to do another franchise tag. That's one organization and one franchise that just – and I'm being on – now I'm on air, so I got to be – as a commentator, I got to be honest. Man, it had so much mystique and pride and history and tradition. We got to get that back. You know, we got to get that back. And so I hope we're heading in the right direction, you know, with that. Because that's my one. You know, obviously Iowa State basketball, my family, and then I love the skins, too.
I know you do.
You know, that's one. Like, baseball, basketball, I watch it. I follow it. I know what's going on. College football, you know, Iowa State. But NFL, that's what I love to watch.
Does it bother you? Because I've kind of become obsessed with – I'm a weird guy. You know that by now. But I find these, like, things that I, like, become obsessed with and I start studying. And I've become obsessed with concussions. Does it bother you at all watching that? Like, knowing what we know now with CTE and stuff? I have a hard time. Like, I still watch it, and I still love my Vikings, but I watch it differently. I almost think basketball benefits from it too. I really think that it will in the long term.
Yeah, I don't think I watch it differently. But when you look at some of the effects down the road, when you look at these guys, the football guys, whether it's concussions or just their bodies, you know, it is. It's a tough sport.
Oh, man.
It is a tough sport, but people love it, and you just keep coming back to it. And so, because I bet if you ask a lot of those guys, would you do it again?
They probably would.
99 out of 100 will say they'll do it again. And so I do. You know, it's funny, man. A lot of basketball players love football. A lot of football players love basketball. Like, I love watching college football on a Saturday. I love NFL, you know, football. I like watching the Skins, I should say that. But, you know, but I think, you know, then you'll see a lot of basketball coaches playing noon ball. You know, I mean, football coaches playing noon ball. You know, they love to do that. So,
yeah.
So what else? How's everything with you?
I got invited to noon ball one time during the McDermott era. Never been back.
Because you were too good, or?
All I do, coach, I can hit the three. It's a set shot, though. Second somebody's in my face, I'm done.
Nobody could get you, could draw some help and get you an open shot.
Get me open on some screens, and I'm going to score some buckets for you.
Who was on the staff back then that couldn't get you a shot?
Otzelberger.
He couldn't beat anybody off the dribble?
No.
You don't think so?
He lost a step. lost a step.
Yeah, I'm well. If I see him,
D. Rob was around there for a while.
Yeah, he's more inside. More inside. If he was a presence down there, they'd have to help and double and kick it back out to you and get you an open shot.
Those are the good old days. Yeah, no, things are good here. No complaints. We're just grinding, ready to go. I'm ready for football. Any predictions on the Cyclones before I let you go? I think they're going to a bowl game.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. You know, I've got a, you know, obviously I know Matt well. I think me and him got a really good relationship and friendship, and obviously pulling really hard for him. And obviously he's got a really good buzz going, a lot of excitement. Obviously he's recruited well and brought some new guys in, and you know, I don't know. I don't want to throw out a number, 6-6, 7-5, but I do. I do think they'll be in a bowl, and I do think he's going to take this program to a really, really high level.
Well, I'll tell you what. You've never experienced it yet, but if they're in bowl contention, when November rolls around, when your season's starting, Coach Finley's season starting, in wrestling, everybody's really pumped up about that program. It's a special place when all that's going on at the same time, so. Hopefully we can experience. Go get some players, all right? Enjoy the July recruiting period.
We will. Thanks for having me on, and go Cyclones, and we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah. Don't forget about the big reunion, August 4th and 5th. I'm sure you'll see a lot more about it here in the coming weeks.